joined as ever by Miles Stark of the Joe Book to discuss all things Newcastle United. Been a while since Newcastle's last game, almost 2 weeks since that defeat against Everton. In that time, the majority of the squad have been out in Dubai, warm weather training, now they're back in the northeast, but there's also been players out on international duty, like Bruno for Brazil, Chris Wood, New Zealand, Miguel Almiron for Paraguay, Emil Kraft for Sweden, Fabian Scher for Switzerland, Martin Dubravka for Slovakia. I think that's all of them. So mixed fortunes for those players. Miles, I'll start with you. Just what is your assessment of the international break, how it's gone for Newcastle players who have been on international duty and also those who've remained part of the core squad?
Well, I think it came at the right time. Certainly that first week was ideal for the squad, given the fixture list, where we know we'll know that the club wasn't too happy the way those two away games were rescheduled. They had that break in Dubai, as we've said in the last pod. I think that was ideal for them. Mm-hmm. As always, in terms of the internationals, there's been mixed fortunes. The highlight, I guess, would be that Guimarães goal. That should do him a lot of good before he comes. He comes back ahead of the Tottenham game. That was certainly good to see and bodes well for him.
Yeah, Joe, what was your take on the international break? Do you agree with Miles? Do you think it came at a good time? And just on the likes of Chris Wood as well, scoring for New Zealand, Miguel Almiron scoring for Paraguay as well. And obviously, as Miles mentions, Bruno's goal and the couple of assists he got as well.
Yeah, definitely. As Miles said, it definitely came at the right time. Back-to-back defeats and the manner of the defeats, you know, with being such two late goals, I think it was good to get the team sort of, you know, all together in, well, most of them all together in Dubai and work on a few things. And then, as you say, seeing Chris Wood break the New Zealand record, that'll do his confidence, you know, a world of good. He's only got one goal at the minute for Newcastle, but, you know, goals like that on an international break will just give him confidence. And as you say, that Bruno goal was sensational, the whole play. And then his assist earlier on in the game as well was fantastic. So I think all in all, it's been a good break. I know there's been a couple of injuries, which we'll touch on later, but overall, I think it's been good for the confidence of some of them players.
Yeah, 5 goals for Chris Wood in 3 games on international duty, albeit against lesser opposition, likes of the Solomon Islands, Fiji, teams like that. But he's in with a chance of going to the World Cup in Qatar. They've got a playoff game, New Zealand against Costa Rica in June, so could potentially be seeing Chris Wood in Qatar should they win that. But Joe, you touched upon it, Bruno's goal and the assist, both involving his former Lyon teammate Lucas Paqueta. They sort of have a bit of back and forth on social media. They're sort of almost teasing Lucas Paqueta, saying they'll be working together and things like that. Is he someone you'd like to see at Newcastle, whether it comes off or not?
I'd love to see him there. I think that to have a ready-built relationship like he's already got with Bruno Guimarães, not just obviously international, but obviously they play together at Lyon, I think that he's the type of player which would probably, you know, be that level up, like Guimarães was when he came in. It's that that next level that we want to get to. So I think it would be an ideal place. Whether it might cost a lot of money, you know, Lyon probably weren't happy to see Guimarães leave in January. They probably won't be happy to lose another one again. But if it's possible, I would definitely explore that option.
Yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. And Lucas Paqueta, if you follow him on social media, he's very active regarding Newcastle games and Bruno's progress at his new club. But also on international duty, as Joe touched on before, Martin Dubravka and Fabian Scher withdrew from international duty due to illness in Dubravka's case and a slight groin injury for Fabian Scher, not seen in training so far this week. Miles, is that a potential blow for Newcastle going into Sunday's game at Spurs?
Well, we'll have to wait to find out more, but certainly to lose one or both would be a blow. We're recording this on Thursday. Eddie Howe will be giving his press conference on Friday morning, tomorrow morning, as we record this. You would think Scher's more of a concern. Certainly, Lascelles would be the obvious player coming to the starting 11. Let's hope there's been some kind of recovery and he's available, because we all know how important he's been to this run over the past few, you know, this improvement we've seen over the past few months. Dubravka, of course, yeah, again, hugely important player for this team, and we've seen the Dubravka more of old, really, of late. So two very important players, and let's hope they're both available.
Yeah, and a player who is back available, or should be back available for the Spurs, Jonjo Shelvey, who missed the last two games. He's back in contention, but I'll pose this to both of you guys. Does he come back into the side, or, and if he does, who would drop out in his place?
I've been a critic of Shelvey's, you know, joy over the time of his career at times. But I think he's a strong contender to come straight back into the team. He's done very well under Howe. Almiron, you would suspect, would be want to drop out of the team. I think we'll come on to talk about this, but there's also Sam Maximin to come back into the mix. Is he the one to come into the team? There's a few decisions, these are the kind of decisions that Howe will want. He's got kind of quality players there who are out of the team or ready to come back into the team.
Yeah, and Joe, what do you think? Do you want to see Shelvey straight back in, and which player drops out? Because that midfield three, Eddie Howe has tried to keep as consistent as possible over the past few months.
Yeah, I think Shelvey will come back in if he's fit enough. And I've got a feeling it might be Bruno that misses out. I think with his, you know, he's been to Brazil, which obviously a long travel over at South America. And Eddie Howe probably no need to risk him, I would think, especially with the game coming 5 days later against Wolves. So I would guess he might go back to the tried and tested Joe Willock, Joe Linton, and Jonjo Shelvey, middle three.
Yeah, it would be harsh on Bruno, because I thought, in my opinion anyway, probably the best player against Everton. He had a good game against Chelsea as well, and obviously his goal against Southampton. But like you say, Joe, I mean, you're playing away in South America, playing in Bolivia as well, which is 3,500 or so metres above sea level. You saw him after the game with an oxygen mask on, things like that. It's just common practice over there playing at that altitude, but stuff like that will take a bit out of you. And then when you consider jet lag as well, I think it might sort of make Eddie Howe's decision for him. But like Miles says, we'll see in the press conference tomorrow with Eddie Howe speaking to the media on Friday morning. But also, we touched on Alan Saint-Maximin as well. He's finally back in full training fully for the past 2 weeks. For both you guys, again, is he one who comes back in, or is he one who will have benefited from the break in particular?
First of all, he will have benefited from that, because as we discussed before, he hadn't had any kind of his training had been interrupted before the last few games. He hadn't had a good run of sessions before the recent games and following that injury. He's certainly a player we'd all love to see him in the starting 11. Equally, he's a player who can make a big influence off the bench. But I think if we were all going to write out our strongest 11, he'd be in that, and he should be pretty close to being fully fit now. So another good decision for Howe to make. But he, you'd imagine he's knocking on that door right now.
Yeah, and if he were to come back in, Joe, whose place would he take in the side?
I think it'll be Almiron, probably for the same reasons. Guimaraes might not play. Almiron's probably not the same level as Guimaraes, but I think that Saint-Maximin for Almiron's a straight swap. And I think if you're a Tottenham defender, you're very worried if you see Saint-Maximin on that pitch on Sunday.
Yeah, and this week, good news on the community side of things. Newcastle United Foundation opening a new sports and education hub, Newcastle, spelled Newcastle, £8 million sports hub, just a stone's throw from St James's Park. Miles, you were there for the grand opening. What was that like to see those plans sort of come to fruition and be realised?
Well, having kind of followed this project for a number of years, it was just great to see see it built, really. There is a stunning facility. The 4G pitch on the top is probably the best pitch in town, really, in terms of its location and just the idea of playing, five-a-side or seven-a-side on the roof of a building so close to St James's Park. It's stunning, and the foundation's going to be delivering more than 30 programmes from this facility. There's so much there, and it was fantastic to get a look around it, as I say, having kind of followed it and followed the struggles to get the money to build it over the past few years. It's not been an easy thing to get off the ground. So full credit to Steve Beharrell and everyone at the foundation who's really pushed this through and championed what they do. They do so much work in the city and in the region. And they hope to have, I think it's around 100,000 people through the doors this in its first 12 months. So the foundation already does so much good work, and this will help them reach even more people. So fantastic news, really. It's a stunning, as I say, a stunning facility.
Yeah, Newcastle United were represented by Eddie Howe, manager, Jamal Lascelles, the captain as well, and Sholani Obi opened it as well, given his connections with the building itself, or with the plot of land itself. Miles, you spoke to Lascelles and Amiobi. What did they have to say about just the education hub in general and just the general sort of news surrounding Newcastle at the moment?
Well, as you say, that this plot of land was on which there was the building where Shola really first started playing football in the city, Murray House. So he's had that long-standing connection. I've spoken to him about it a number of times. So, you know, I think he, like all of us, he was blown away seeing it. Now it's finished. It's been fitted out. Fantastic, really. He's shoulders a trustee of the foundation. Very important role he has in terms of championing what they do. Lascelles too, he was blown away. He talked about his experiences at kind of youth centres and growing up, and this was nothing like that. There's so much there for young people, for people of all ages, in fact. So it was great to see them there and to have a chat. Obviously, with COVID, we've not had too many kind of face-to-face chats with players over the past couple of years. So it's good to talk at length to Jamal, really, about the whole situation since the takeover, the progress under Howe, his own situation, his own future. There was a lot there to talk about.
Yeah, and Jamal Lascelles, Joe, is one who's been out the team. He's the captain of the team, but he's had to remain patient, potentially with Fabian Scher out injured. Is he one who needs to step up to the plate potentially, or do you feel he has been doing that in recent months under Eddie Howe when he has featured in the team?
Well, he had a good game against Everton in the home game. That was, and then he did well against Chelsea. I don't think he put a foot wrong against Chelsea, really.
Yeah.
I think as a unit, the whole defence are stronger now with Matt Target and Dan Byrne. So I think that it's not as much of an issue. Lascelles come back in if Scher is injured. And I think that he will probably slot in there alongside Dan Byrne. And I don't think there'll be that much of a problem. The only thing Newcastle will lose is, you know, the Scher's ability on the ball, I think. Obviously, Jamal Lascelles isn't as confident with that. But that's the only thing. But I've got full faith in Lascelles to come in and hopefully do a job.
Yeah, he's certainly improved when he has played under Eddie Howe since the turn of the year in particular. Just unfortunately, he was sort of knocked out the team after picking up an illness before the Villa game, I think it was. And news this week, Dan Ashworth reports that Newcastle may have to wait until November before appointing him as technical director. The Daily Mail reporting that there's a 9-month notice in his contract. Miles, you've followed this story over the past few months. What's your take on the situation regarding Dan Ashworth?
As ever, it all comes down to money, really. And I think the figures being discussed or the figure that Brighton want to release him earlier isn't acceptable to the current ownership. They're not going to be held to ransom over at Dan Ashworth. Obviously, ideally, you want him in for the summer, ahead of the summer transfer window. So I think this one's going to run a little bit further. There's room for manoeuvre on both sides, I feel. One issue is the relationships between the two clubs. I get the sense it isn't the best. This probably predates the Dan Byrne transfer. And I don't think Brighton have been the easiest to deal with in terms of this situation. They obviously didn't want to lose Dan Ashworth, which is understandable. They've lost Dan Byrne to this club as well. So I think they're probably just they're being a little awkward. They're asking for a lot of money, and from the sense I get from Newcastle is they're not going to be held to ransom over it. And if they have to wait, they'll wait. Though you know, as ever, there's a lot of time here for compromise, and obviously from Newcastle's point of view, they want him in before the summer. But that said, they did some good business in January without Dan Ashworth, and if they have to, they'll do the same again in the summer.
Yeah, you mentioned in the summer, what impact could it have without Dan Ashworth at the club, if at all, like you said?
Well, they've still got Steve Nixon there. Obviously, Eddie Howe worked closely with him in January. There's a group of people there who can oversee the business, but I think the point with Dan Ashworth, he's so much more than just a head of recruitment, overseeing recruitment. He would take a look at all aspects of the club. He's talked about himself as being the kind of, the club being all the spokes in the wheel, and he's at the heart of that, coordinating things. He bring in at Brighton, he did a lot of work with the women's team, which is an area that we know Newcastle want to focus on, in the coming years, bring that team into the heart of the club, because it hasn't been up to now. So his remit would be so much more than transfers. As I said, as we've seen in January, this club can do its transfer business without him. Ideally, you want him in, but the sooner he comes in, the better, because he will take a look at everything and hopefully make some big improvements across the club.
Yeah, and Joe, talking about the summer transfer window, it feels like the January one's just ended, but we're already seeing transfer rumours, potential transfer budgets being talked about with Newcastle. For Eddie Howe, say Dan Ashworth isn't there, what is his top priority in the summer, do you feel?
I think he'll want another, for me, it'll be another midfielder, I think, alongside them three, another centre midfielder. I think the three are doing fantastic, all the four of them, if you include Bruno, but I think he'll want some more options in there. He'll probably want another defender. We're, a bit light. And we've seen link with a goalkeeper. Now, when we were linked with a goalkeeper, I was shocked, because for me, Dubravka's done nothing wrong, and he's in the top 10 keepers of the Premier League for me. But if they want someone who can maybe better on the ball, play out with his feet, then maybe that's something to go with. But I think the thing they should be concentrating on, and they did this well in January, was getting the right characters in, not overspending, not just throwing money because they've got it, really getting the right people in for the right moments. And I think that this Dan Ashworth thing is probably showing that these owners aren't, as Miles said, going to be held to ransom. They're going to pay what they see as fair. And if not, then they're happy to wait. So I think it might be one in some. I don't think it'll drag on too much, like we've seen under the Mike Ashley era, where we're getting a deadline day, scrapping around for loan signings. But I do feel that they will try and get value for money.
Yeah, and looking ahead to Spurs, Joe, the team who've won six of the last eight games, they're still in with a shout of a Champions League spot. What are your feelings going into that game?
I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, you don't know what Tottenham team are going to turn up. You don't know how Newcastle are going to react after the break. I mean, they've took 4 points from their two games so far at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They won a couple of years ago with that Joe Linton. They got a bit lucky last season with the last-minute penalty. But Spurs are a team that Newcastle tend to beat. They also, they also tend to lose heavily. I remember in the season they finished fifth, I think they got beat 5-0. So
yeah,
it's a game where anything can happen. And if you remember back to the first Spurs game of the season, that was obviously just after the takeover, and everyone was so excited to go into the St. James Park. They went 1-0 up and then they collapsed, and Spurs were comfortable winners in the end. So I don't want to put a prediction because I've got absolutely no idea.
I know you like an away day. Are you heading down to the Tottenham Hotspur?
No, game? I couldn't get tickets. I think it's where it's going now. I haven't got enough loyalty points, so I'll have to sit at home and watch it.
All right, fair enough. And Miles, what do you think Newcastle need to do to get a result at Spurs? Based on the recent showings, what do they need to improve on?
Maybe before talk about that, I think it was interesting speaking to Jamal Lascelles the other day at the Newcastle opening. He talked about a mentality shift in the group. And the way he said, we're going into every game to win. But we believe we can win games. That we can look back to the way the team played under Rafa with some success. They played more defensive game on the counter-attack. That worked for that group of players. Steve Bruce was never able really to change that much as he tried to get the team more on the front foot, to play with a different style. It didn't have an identity under Bruce. Now you've got a much more cohesive unit, a team which can defend together, can attack together. And as I say, as Jamal Lascelles says, there's this mentality shift. in terms of this belief going, you know, they'll be going there to win this game. They won't be going there to take a point. In terms of what they have to do, they've got to look after their ball, which they did the first half against Everton. And then they've got to do more in the final third of the pitch, which they didn't do, especially in that second half. They didn't make use of the possession that they did have. They gave the ball, started to give the ball away cheaply. So that where you know the composition of that midfield, which we've been discussing, comes into it. So as you said, is Guimaraes is he kind of fit and ready to play after that, you know, exhausting kind of international break, playing at altitude? The some maximum is this perfect for him to come into the game really get in behind Tottenham? There's a few decisions there to make, but certainly they've got to use the ball better in the final third of the pitch.
Yeah, and just on that mentality shift, is it as simple as saying it is down to Eddie Howe, or is there more things or several things at play here that's been a reason because of that and Newcastle's subsequent run of form as a result?
I think everyone, the teams are united in more than just name now. We're all aware of things and read about things and heard of things that were going on behind the scenes under Bruce. They're a very united unit now, cohesive unit. Not just Eddie Howe, it's his staff as well. Whenever you speak to the players, they're quick to kind of reference his staff too. They've built this kind of unity, and that's again that's where these trips come in, the Dubai trip, the trip to Saudi Arabia. They're a tight-knit group, and that's got them through some games, got them through some awkward moments in games. So I think, you know, the players deserve credit, so does Howe and his coaching staff, and so do the owners for creating this kind of environment. Jamal also talked about, you know, the owners having an open door, having a relationship with them. Very, very, very open, and let's hopefully fruitful relationship there developing.
Yeah, and heading into the Spurs game on Sunday, Newcastle 9 points clear of the relegation zone with 9 games remaining. Just looking ahead to these final 9 games, obviously the picture could be quite different come Monday. At what point, Joe, do you feel we'll be on this podcast or you'll be writing about something about regarding Newcastle being safe in the Premier League this season?
I think the Norwich game at the end of April will be pretty key. I think before then they've got Leicester, Crystal Palace, Wolves and then Norwich to play, obviously Spurs as well. I think if they can get a couple of wins from them, I think it'll only take 2 or 3 wins. So I think if they can go to Norwich and if they beat Norwich that day and they're near the 40-point mark, maybe sort of 36, 37 points, I think they can be pretty safe then.
Yeah, Miles, do you feel the same way, or are you a little bit more optimistic?
I'm normally the kind of cautious, boring type, but I'd agree with Joe. I think once you get to 36, 37 points, you can start to breathe a lot easier. And as Joe said, by that Norwich game, you'd hope the team would be there or thereabouts, really. So that could be the one.
Yeah, and we've spoke about Callum Wilson, Kieran Trippier potentially being back for that Norwich game or potentially the Palace game as well. That would be a huge boost if Newcastle can be safe and have those players back as well going into the final run of games towards the back end of the season.
Well, exactly. It's fantastic. I think the club's been getting results, you know, the last two games aside without Wilson. Obviously, Trippier has been out since middle of February. Mm. They've done it without them. So then you add them back into the mix, and it just really strengthens the team for that final run of games. So there's a lot to be, you know, possibly positive about at the minute. We can't get too ahead of ourselves, and that's, you know, that'll be the message from Howe as well. Focus on the next game, the next game, the next game. But yeah, 36, 37 points, you can start to look with a bit more confidence towards next season and what needs to be done in the summer.
Yeah, and we'll have updates on the likes of Callum Wilson, Kieran Trippier, and going into Sunday's game at Tottenham Hotspur over on the Shields Gazette website, where you can stay up to date with all the Newcastle United coverage there, or you can follow either Miles, Joe, or myself, Domsky, on Twitter and subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited ad light access to all of our Newcastle coverage. You just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But Miles, Joe, as always, been a pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Mouth of Time podcast, and we'll see you next week.